Hello, I'm Amanda Ray Marino, Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Logistics Activity Center in Millington, Tennessee.
And I am Warner Buckman, a biologist for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the Charleston District.
Welcome to the Build Strong With Us podcast, where we give our listeners an opportunity to learn more about the diverse people, mission impact, and career opportunities our personnel experience within the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. In this edition, you get a chance to learn more about the hosts of the show, myself and Warner. You've been listening to us introduce you to a variety of guests and so many unique journeys into and through the Corps of Engineers over the past year. So today, we thought we would tell you a little bit about our own unique journeys, and they are unique.
They definitely are, Amanda Ray, but that's what makes this such a special place. We are an organization of 35,000 civilians, 800 soldiers, who come from all over the country and sometimes all over the world to ensure the Corps of Engineers' mission to deliver engineering solutions for securing our nation, strengthening our economy, and reducing disaster risk.
So, Warner, to get us started off, can you share your background with the Corps of Engineers and what attracted you to joining the Corps of Engineers?
Absolutely. Well, I have to be honest, before I actually had the opportunity to join the Corps of Engineers, I thought the Corps of Engineers built bridges and maybe did some infrastructure. And since joining the Corps, I've had my eyes open to the multitude of things that we're involved in. So I actually started with the Army Corps of Engineers when I was finishing my dual master's program at Jacksonville University. So I had one master's in public policy and one master's in marine science. So I am a marine scientist who works for the Army Corps of Engineers. I actually had the opportunity to have a student position with the Army Corps until I finished those graduate degrees. And then whenever I completed them, I got to join full time. So it's been a wonderful, interesting introduction into everything from Everglades ecosystem restoration to disaster preparedness and recovery after hurricanes, to now getting to work on some very cool projects in Charleston District for the Charleston Tidal and Inland Study, where we're looking at everything around the area of Charleston and James Island and trying to figure out how we can mitigate flooding. So I've got to touch a little bit on all sorts of different mission areas and navigation, and it's only been 5 years, so it's been a quick journey.
Yeah, it's been a quick journey, but as a biologist for the Corps of Engineers, you've certainly done a lot of different projects and been involved in a lot of different things. That's very cool.
It has been, and it's amazing also to see all the partnerships that we have with the Corps, and getting to be the Silver Jackets coordinator for Florida for the Jacksonville District was probably one of my favorite things I've done so far. But how about you, Amanda Ray? I mean, how did you end up with me here today supporting the unique missions of the Army Corps of Engineers?
Well, so I actually started my career in the federal government as a sailor in the United States Navy, and I did mass communications, which includes journalism, photography, public affairs, really just everything within the communications field I got a chance to do. And I was with the Navy for 20 years, actually, both as active duty, as a reservist, and as a civilian. After my 20 years, I kind of got to a point in my career where I wanted to try something new. And a position came open in my area with the Corps of Engineers Logistics Activity. It was a new position, and so it would be an opportunity for me to build a public affairs program from the ground up. And so I decided I wanted to kind of try something new and really immerse myself in a different environment. And I did just that, and I will tell you, working in the Navy and working for the Corps of Engineers, they are very different missions. And once I started working with the logistics activity, I actually got the opportunity to start working with headquarters on supporting strategic communication initiatives for some of our special programs. So, in addition to logistics, I've supported the finance center, I support the aviation programs office, I've supported our IT offices a little bit, and then I've also supported one of my big focus areas has been in talent acquisition. And so, actually, building a communication strategy for our talent acquisition folks. So I've only been with the Corps for about 3.5 years, and in that time, I've also gotten the opportunity to do a lot, which I think is one of the cool things about the Corps of Engineers, is if you're, motivated and interested in new areas and new things, the Corps will give you those opportunities. They will open up doors and really allow you to grow as an individual, as a professional, and accomplish things that you never would have thought were possible.
I think you hit on something that I also believe is one of the most wonderful things about the Army Corps of Engineers and having a career with it, is there's always something new to learn, and there's always a new area to explore and something new to discover that the Corps does as far as our mission areas. So that's a pretty amazing career path you've had so far, and I'm sure there's even more to come.
Absolutely. And so, kind of along those same lines, in your time with the Corps of Engineers, what's a major project that you've been able to work on that is advancing biology in the Corps of Engineers and ensuring that our environment can sustain recreation and infrastructure?
That's one of the most amazing things that really attracted me first to the Army Corps of Engineers. It's actually those Everglades projects that I mentioned previously. So they are the largest ecosystem restoration projects that any government organization has going on in the world. And it's something that's been going on for decades. There are people who I got to work with who've been working on these projects for 30 years. And what we're continuing to do is provide not only storage areas for the water that's moving through, but also Everglades means river of grass. And so we have the opportunity to bring back in that ecosystem and all of the thriving wildlife there by rebuilding that ecosystem so that it functions alongside of the people who live in Florida and so that they can experience it. I mean, it's such a gem of Florida. And whenever you talk about it, those who have gotten to camp in that area, kayak, hunt, fish, all of those different recreational opportunities, it really becomes a part of their heart. And not only that, but working with the Native American communities in that area, the tribes, they are so passionate and they're so well connected to the land. And getting to incorporate the indigenous knowledge, getting to really work with them to ensure that we are doing our best to restore it back to what it was before there was some channelization that happened for various different agricultural reasons a couple decades back. And so this huge effort really shows that we're putting not only our emphasis with Army Corps of Engineers in infrastructure, but also in biological infrastructure, working with the land, working with green infrastructure in some of these areas so that we can reduce flooding, so that we can provide recreation, and so that we can restore something that is, like I said, a jewel of Florida.
I really appreciate your work doing that. As somebody who does visit Florida a lot and enjoys those recreational areas, and want them, more importantly, for my children and for generations to come. So you're really making a lasting impact in our nation. So I appreciate that.
It's been something that definitely excites me and makes me ready to come to work every day. And in the Charleston district, we had to do a lot of beach renourishment projects. So on that side of it, not only are we protecting infrastructure and the economy of the area, but we're also protecting those beaches that are so essential. So very wide varieties of what you get to do as a biologist with the Army Corps of Engineers. So Amanda Ray, as I talked about something that I love, I would love to know what has been one of your favorite success stories within the field of communications in our organization.
Well, I would have to say my biggest success story was building the communication strategy for talent acquisition. About 2 years ago, the public affairs director for the Corps of Engineers came to me and said, we really need help with our talent acquisition folks. They really need some communication guidance. And after really digging in and doing some research about what guidance they had as far as communications and branding and messaging, I came to realize that they needed a really comprehensive communication strategy that provided them the tools that they needed to empower not only our talent acquisition folks, but our leaders and even individual members of the Corps of Engineers with tools that empower them to help us attract and retain the best and highest quality. I know I want the folks around me to be the best and the brightest the nation has to offer. It makes coming to work every day inspiring. And so I was actually led a team of about 15 interdisciplinary Corps of Engineers employees. And that was interesting because they weren't communicators. They didn't know communications like I did, but I had to lead them in the development. It took us about a year, but we developed a very comprehensive communication strategy playbook. That playbook is ensuring that we have aligned messaging as we are posting jobs online, as we are attending job fairs. We are really speaking from the same sheet of music and representing the Corps of Engineers as a premier employer. So it really elevated the entire talent acquisition effort, taking it to the next level. And it was a team effort. And I know you were even part of that. That's actually how this podcast came to be. We're working with your group, really taking the time to first research and then plan and then execute and implement that public affairs strategy and to see it actually being used by our talent acquisition folks. It's very rewarding to know that I can possibly have an effect on the ability of our organization to attract top talent for the next generation of the Corps of Engineers.
It's an absolutely incredible thing to have gotten off the ground and actually have implemented. And I love that that actually is the first place where we met, where we got to launch something like this from that regional leadership development program that I was doing here in the Southeast. And then the beauty of the Army Corps is once we networked, we were able to empower each other to continue forward and have this similar mindset of what can the Corps do and how can we continue to reach out to people? And like you said, continue to find the best of the best. And we've been able to bring some of those people onto this episode or these episodes. So that's been inspiring, like you said before.
Absolutely. And, one of the interesting things I think as a benefit of going to telework during COVID is that we've become a lot more adept at using things like Teams and really communicating across state lines, across country lines even. And so through the process, I've met so many amazing people that are all over the country that, if I need something, I can call them up and I know that they're going to help me out because we're all one Corps of Engineers. And there's really just this mentality that if somebody from the Corps of Engineers reach out to you, you're going to do whatever it takes to help them reach their goal because we really do function as one team. And absolutely, even though we have, 40 some odd districts and 9 divisions all over the country and districts even overseas, we are really, I think, a tight-knit group despite being 35,000 strong. So I think that's one of the really amazing things that I've recognized about the Corps of Engineers.
I feel like we all have that strong mission of making things better for the people around us as best we can and following those mission areas and giving it a shot, right? The Army Corps of Engineers motto, essay on.
Essay on, so, let us try.
Exactly. So as you've met all of these people and been connected with all of them, one of my favorite questions to ask is always, what has been the most useful piece of advice that you've received?
So the most useful piece of advice I actually got in the Navy from a senior chief Don Azevedo, who I'm still in touch with today, and he told me when I was a young sailor, he said, "If you don't ask, the answer is always no." And that's something that I've really carried with me ever since. For over a decade now, I've carried that pearl of wisdom, and it is something that has pushed me to ask for opportunities, to ask for professional development, to ask to advocate for work-life balance, to ask to advocate for myself and my family. And so I would recommend everybody ask the question, even if the chances are small that you get what you want. If you don't ask the question, the answer is always no. So don't sell yourself short. Don't limit your possibilities, because just by asking the question, you could open up doors that you didn't even know existed.
Absolutely. And there's so many doors in the Army Corps of Engineers that you never know what's going to open. And I think that's the whole reason why I'm here. The whole reason why you're here is you decided to open a door and go from Navy to Army Corps of Engineers and bring all of that amazing experience with you.
Absolutely. So, Warner, you've touched on it a little bit, but what gets you up in the morning? What makes you want to get up every day and support the USAIS mission?
I think the biggest thing is that I know that I'm serving people around me. Whenever I'm, at Costco, whenever I am walking through my neighborhood, whenever we take our dogs, actually, funny enough, for a walk down a core project, there's actually an entire recreational path along that way. I know that I am changing people's lives by what I get to do, whether it's building partnerships so that we're bringing in more knowledge to make the projects that we do even more successful and even more resilient, or if it's something that is directly involved. And I know that I'm helping to make things efficient on this side so that we can actually accomplish something and we can help out a community so that they can move forward and not get flooded. I mean, all of these various missions that we do, I know have direct impact. It's not just pushing paperwork around. There is a beautiful empowerment to recognizing that you are serving the people who you get to live and work around every day. And I also have to say that the people who I am surrounded by here in the Charleston district, they love what they do. They really do, and they're passionate about it. And they always want to find a way to get past whatever hurdle or whatever obstacle there is. It's like you were saying, ask the question, and they do. They want to. It feels like a team mentality of all of us, even though we might be doing various different projects, working together to figure out how we can move everything forward.
Well, so can you share a specific story where the work that you do had a direct impact on the local community?
Absolutely. So whenever I was in the Jacksonville district, I got to be the Silver Jackets coordinator for that district. And Silver Jackets is an incredible program. And I think we might actually have a Silver Jackets coordinator as one of our guests here in a few episodes. But so I won't dive too much into it. But essentially, it's interagency. So with the Army Corps of Engineers, there's so much that we do, but there's so many other federal, local, state agencies and different groups that can add into some of these what we call non-structural. So we're not necessarily building something concrete, but we might be building out an entire program. So one of the things that I got the chance to do is actually work with the resiliency officer for the state of Florida, along with the South Florida Water Management District, actually all the water management districts. And we got to start to put together a database that was going to have all the flood modeling across the state. So different universities, different groups, and including Army Corps of Engineers, had actually done flood modeling in various places. And some of these communities that might not have, they might be rather small communities, right? They're the head over their engineering side might also be the person who is working on their civil side. And sometimes their mayor is also the person who's going to be the one touching with any sort of emergency operations. some of these smaller communities, they don't necessarily have the funding to do their own flood modeling. And so we were pulling all of these resources together and putting them in one place where they can pull that modeling themselves and they can use it directly. So it's also more efficient. We're not doubling down and creating redundancy to figure out how to prevent flooding in their area. And some of that actually spun off into another USAES program that we have, Army Corps of Engineers program, which is the Floodplain Management Services program. And so we have federal funds, especially for disadvantaged communities, to look at their area and actually get the chance to say, hey, if you put a culvert here, you raise this road, and we're going to look through this with engineering modeling, you would be able to ensure emergency vehicles can get to all of the homeowners in this area. In one of these FPMS that I got to do, this floodplain management service, we were actually working with a local zoo. And so we were ensuring that those animals are not getting flooded. And that zoo, which is so integral to that area, still has the ability for people to come and enjoy and learn, and kids to have that experience growing up of going to the zoo and being educated about all of these different animals and the areas in which they live. So what was Silver Jackets also was something within the Corps, and we were building all of these relationships to help all of these communities. And every day, knowing that everyone around me was so dedicated to making sure that these communities got the best information they could so that they could move forward and help the people in those communities or animals in those communities, was just incredibly inspiring.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
We're talking a little bit about teamwork. And I know that you and I have worked on several different types of teams, small, large. Can you describe a time when teamwork played a crucial role in overcoming a challenge in communications?
Well, I would honestly have to say all of them. The field of communications and the field of public affairs is all about relationships. And you really cannot communicate if you don't have established relationships built. You have to have relationships built with the people that you're getting the information from, and you have to have relationships with the people that you're giving the information to. And you in communications, a lot of times we're the middleman. We can act as a translator. And in the Corps of Engineers especially, we have a lot of very technical jargon and acronyms. And so I'm kind of the middleman to translate that into something that the public can understand. And so I think every project that I've worked on has required some level of teamwork. You know, just this morning, I needed to update a document and had to go work with other people. And so, you know, you can't have communications without relationships. It's part of the process. And I'm so grateful. My network within the Corps of Engineers, whether it's working with the aviation guys, whether it's working with the finance people, whether it's working with the talent acquisition folks or with my logistics folks, I've built those relationships up over the last 3.5 years so that, like I mentioned before, if I have a problem, I can usually find somebody that will help me. And then just recently, I reached out to folks that I knew for a graphic that I needed. And nobody had it, but they knew who could have it. And so I've just built a whole new relationship with a whole new office, and they were happy to help me out. They didn't know me from Adam, but because I was part of the Corps of Engineers and, you know, working on a project for the Corps of Engineers, they took time out of their day to help get me a map, a graphic of a map that I needed. That's communications in a nutshell, is relationships and teamwork. I can't do it in a vacuum. If I'm doing it in a vacuum, I'm not doing it at all.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, we communicate every day, but then to have a particular communication strategy on top of that, that really helps you link with people and build those relationships in the same way across the Corps is also a whole nother skill set. And it's very impressive how much you've empowered yourself to continue to develop that skill and that talent that you have.
Absolutely. So wrapping up this episode, I have one more question for you, Warner.
Okay.
What What is one thing you think people outside of the Corps of Engineers need to know about working within this organization?
I think I'm going to have to pull something from Dr. Seuss and say, oh, the places you'll go. I mean, it's just amazing, not only physically. I mean, you can go from the San Francisco area to Germany, to Japan, to go work in the New York district. I mean, there's a broad span. I think we're even doing work in Peru right now. So there's a broad span physically, but also career-wise, and with your education. I mean, there are programs within the Corps that will allow you to actually have part of your education paid for if you decided to go for a master's or an extra certificate or something like that. But also career path-wise. I mean, there's the civil work side. So we're doing the navigation and we're doing ecosystem restoration and all of those different mission areas. But there's also the military side where we get to help build bases. And I actually got the chance to go to Tyndall Air Force Base as we were helping to build a lot of those buildings. There's so many places that you can go within the Corps and people that you will meet that are not necessarily just engineers. We have some wonderful engineers who also, on top of it, create visual aids and who speak multiple languages and help us to communicate whenever we're in certain areas like Puerto Rico with a lot of the projects we do down there, especially after hurricanes with hurricane relief. There's so many places that you can go mentally, physically, and then eventually emotionally, because you really start to have some fantastic friends within the Corps. So no matter what your degree background is, and no matter what your educational background might have led you to do as far as a career before, there might be a place for you with an Army Corps of Engineers. So it's definitely
absolutely
a question to ask, like you said, a door to look behind.
Yes, and we invite everybody to come build strong with us.
Exactly. Amanda Ray, it's been such a pleasure working with you over this past year, and I thank you so much for all that you do with the Army Corps of Engineers. I'm excited for our next year podcast.
Yes, and we do plan on continuing this podcast next year, so be ready for that. Warner, thank you for the work that you do every day in the Corps of Engineers and for the nation. I'm proud to be working alongside of you supporting such unique missions.
And thank you to our audience for listening. I know we just started it this year, but it's wonderful to get to highlight such incredible people across the Army Corps of Engineers and all of the amazing things that we get to do. So if you would like to submit a question or a suggestion for a guest for an upcoming edition, we always welcome that, of the Build Strong With Us podcast, please send us a note at buildstrongwithus@usace.army.mil. Thank you.